Today's episode of The Mom Game is presented by our friends at Gateway GMC at LBJ and Jupiter. I know that buying a car can be stressful, but not at Gateway because their slogan is, Gateway's got it. And just what does that mean? Well, it means Gateway's got a wide selection of new GMCs and GM-certified used vehicles, all competitively priced. Gateway's got it. In these busy times, you want a car dealer who makes things easy and convenient. Well, guess what? Gateway's got it. When you log on to gatewaygmc.com, look for the Shop, Click, Drive button. This allows you to shop from the comfort of your home, and who doesn't want that? In fact, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, select your vehicle. 2, create your offer. 3, schedule your delivery. And on top of all this, Gateway GMC offers complimentary car washes for life. So, when you want a dealer who has it all, Gateway's got it. You can find them online at gatewaygmc.com or shop in person at LBJ and Jupiter. GMC, we are professional grade. And welcome inside the Coppola Studios for episode 256 of The Mom Game. I am Emily Jones. She is Julie Dobbs. We got a lot to get into today. Special guests coming up a little bit later in the show. Emily and Jared Sandler taking us on their fertility journey and giving a lot of people perspective on a touchy subject matter. So excited to have them in. It is Super Bowl week. It's a Yo Quiero show.
Yes. I love a good Yo Quiero show.
I know. And you
I was looking for chips.
We didn't bring a whole bag of chips, but you brought just enough chips for us to sample some things. Yes. So we all know the queso is fantastic. We all know the guacamole is fantastic. Bean dip, one of my favorites. They got new stuff. This is a jalapeno dip.
Yes.
Medium. And what's that?
This is an onion dip.
Smoked
brand
what?
Brand new onion. Smokehouse flavored onion dip. So basically, Yo Quiero, your dip destination. You're having a gathering for the Super Bowl, which is coming up already somehow. The Super Bowl is this weekend. It's just kind of a one-stop shop. They're the ultimate dip destination. They have guac, salsa, queso, bean dip, brand new onion, and creamy jalapeno dips, which we are trying out right now. Dude, what do you think? The jalapeno?
So good. Yeah.
And they're all in the same spot in store. Just go to the deli department in your local Albertsons or Tom Thumb to find these bad boys. Let us know when you do. We love to know when you support our sponsors. You can find all of the products that you need for your big game watch party, and they're just ready to rock. You don't have to cook anything up. You don't have to put it in a bowl. It's ready to go. You just
I know the thing I love about that
open
queso,
it up and
that queso you can just put it in the microwave
mm-hmm.
and then get it out. And then if you don't eat it all, just put mm-hmm. the lid back on, put it in the refrigerator. Get it back out when you're ready to heat
it
up.
I love just
again.
Being stocked up because when you're invited to like a last minute thing and you want to bring something, just grab your Yo Quiero dip. Oh my gosh, this onion dip's amazing.
We should trade.
We should.
Okay.
Dip trade.
Dip trade. Okay. We got so much stuff to talk about. First of all, everybody's good. We were remote last week because we were both sickly. I was sickly until I got to Mexico. Then I was even more sickly. I thought my head and chest were going to explode from the air pressure on the plane. Uh-oh. Literally thought I was dying and regretting my life's choices at that point to travel to Mexico. Then slept it off and felt pretty good the rest of the time.
Good.
Yeah, still some, whatever. Apparently it's like really going around. Shit's everywhere.
Oh, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Flu, strep, COVID, all the things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think at least here on The Mom Game, we're on the other side of it.
Yes.
I think it's still definitely floating out there. But yeah, we're better at our house. Kids are better. Everybody's back at school for the most part. Ryder came home yesterday for a little while.
Bless.
Tummy stuff. I don't know. But no big flu stuff anymore. So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Rockin' and rollin', talent show week. And I help teach the third grade boy talent show every year, which is a whole process.
Who makes up the dance?
We do. Us moms.
Okay. What's your choreography?
Do what?
Of her choreography.
Pretty good. I can handle third grade boy choreography. I couldn't do probably like third grade girl and up because the girls start getting real intense. Even the first grade girls, which Anna's doing, is pretty intense. But the boys are funny. So we're doing Olympics and we've got some bobsledders. We've got some basketball players and we've got some break dancers. And
fun.
It's going to be really fun. So it's crazy though. I don't know. Teachers, do it.
I need to see videos.
We've got some videos from yesterday's practice and then the big performance is this Friday.
Okay.
So that's kind of what's going on in our world. Today is the only day without a practice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very intense.
It is very intense. And then Anna had a piano recital.
I saw that.
on Sunday. She plays piano and Ryder plays guitar every Wednesday. They go to their little music class.
That's cute.
But he wasn't quite ready for his recital. So that's totally fine. So yeah. He's going to do something in the spring. He's just taking his time. But yeah, I wanted, and they were excited when we mentioned it, to have some music lessons just as something outside of sports, you know, something that they can have with them for life and just a skill that they can start to develop. And both my kids really love music.
And piano and guitar are like good. For me, I fucking played the bassoon.
Played the French horn.
Yeah, it's not really like,
right.
Hey, let me get my bassoon out and I'll play you guys a tune.
Right. You know? Interesting party trick.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so that's kind of what's going on in our world.
Okay.
How about you?
Good.
Mexico was good?
It was fantastic. We did this really cool thing every morning where we at the spa, you'd have open access to it or whatever. So they had a dry sauna and then you would cold plunge and then go get in the wet sauna and then cold plunge again and then get in the hot tub. It was amazing. So we did that felt like it was good to clear up my chest congestion too. So awesome. And I got an infrared sauna and it was delivered yesterday and installed.
At your house?
Yes.
So a sauna that go sit in?
Dry sauna.
Oh, cool.
So I'll report back.
Yeah.
I got it on Costco.
Nice.
.com.
Okay. My friend Jessie got Jessie.
Yeah.
She got one from Costco.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Were super expensive and I was like, I don't want to do that. And then I saw this Instagram thing and it's saunas at Costco. And I'm like, sweet.
Yeah. It's a good sauna.
So yeah.
And there's so good for you.
Yes.
I just re-upped. I'm going to go back to Hot Works because of the sauna. I loved working out in the sauna.
I think that's what gave me the itch to want one.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to get in the car, but I'm anyway, I'm so excited about it.
Okay. Well, you'll have to let us know.
I will.
Also want to explore this red light thing everybody's doing.
Oh, yeah. We need to get one.
Like putting a red light mask on.
And yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe it'll make me look your age.
All that.
Okay. We got lots of things.
Oh, we went on Good Morning Texas today.
Oh, we did go on Good Morning Texas today. That was fun.
It was fun.
Jane McGarry, super cute.
Yeah.
She's aged really well.
She has.
She looks good.
It was fun.
Yeah.
News is so much.
I wanted to ask her how old she was, but totally inappropriate.
I'm so glad you didn't.
I know, but I was I'm trying to do the math in my head. I'm like, damn, girl, you've been at this for a while and you look good.
It is just a nice kind of reminder, though, of why this is kind of a beautiful setup, because you can just talk and just be yourself and for an hour or whatever. Yeah. It's the news is so
scripted.
So scripted, so quick, a whole lot of stress and prep and plan and emails for 5 minutes, you know?
I know.
But it was great. I think it's a good way for other people to have their eyes open to us and what we're doing here. Yeah, so we were grateful for the invite.
Yeah. Thanks to GMT.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about some sports stuff, which is not going to be pleasant, but we're going to talk about it anyway. And that is brought to us by our friends at Tylock George Eye Care. We have told you guys for the last 6-7 months how life-changing our respective eye surgeries have been, thanks to the docs at Tylock George. Julie got the LASIK. I got the lens replacement. Totally life-changing. The fact that I don't have to put on readers to read things in the morning, at night, whatever. You just don't have to worry about glasses. It's really effing cool. If you're like me, you thought maybe there wasn't an alternative for you because I had already had LASIK 17, 18 years ago. It wore off and now I can see clearly because I've got custom lenses up in my eyeballs. And so if you are looking for a solution to get rid of those readers, contacts, all that stuff, give the folks at Tylock George a call. Mention the Mom Game. Tell them we sent you for an exclusive discount. You can also visit them on their website at tylock.com/TMG. Once again, don't forget to remind them that the Mom Game sent you. Okay, we'll talk about the Super Bowl later. We know it's Super Bowl week because we're eating you a Kiro. Julie, Luca.
Luca's gone.
He's gone.
It doesn't feel real.
It doesn't.
Still. I think part of the reason, first of all, if Luca's ever going to be traded, it is going to send shockwaves into the atmosphere because people like that, faces of the franchise, players like that, once-in-a-generation type players just don't usually get traded. The way it went down, it was so weird on a Saturday night, at midnight or whatever.
And it's he's 25.
He's 25. I mean, no one saw it coming, which we're learning now why, because Nico Harrison was trying to keep it all secret because
he's
in bed with the GM at the Lakers and their buds and they've been talking about this. But I want to hear how you got the news, but mine was getting everybody to sleep in our house. We had gone to see Dog Man and I had just sorted through a whole bunch of whatever stuff, life, kids, everything else, finally got all that done. And then they had the big plane crash in DC, and that's been like rocking my world because kind of like the fires, it got into my algorithm, and then it's like pictures of kids and all that. So I start to see all this stuff before bed every night. Like that's when I finally decompress and I just start looking at my phone. And first it was wildfires, then it was people and the plane crash. And so I finally got through all that and I'm like, all right, this is terrible stuff in the news. I'm just going to go to sleep. And then I'm like, look, do one last. What in the F? What is this? Luca, what? Cannot be true. Cannot be true. Well, and then I just go down this whole rabbit hole, like up till 2 a.m., get back on X. I tweet and I haven't done that in ages. Just like, because I needed to like
share. What did
share.
You tweet?
Oh, all kinds of stuff.
Oh.
And just, I needed to share like.
Story.
I was all alone. Like Kelly's been sleeping upstairs because he was sick.
Right, at his
and
dorm.
He doesn't like my sound machine. And so he's up in his dorm. I had no one to even talk to. It's 12:30. Who am I going to call and be like, I should have called Jasmine.
Definitely should have called Jasmine.
Yes. But yeah, so I got on X, but like it didn't feel real. That's an odd time for this news to drop. The whole thing is completely shocking. The more and more we learn about it, the worse it makes it. It seems very just, it's just.
This is the kind of shit right. that will turn people on a franchise real fast.
Yep.
I mean, it's crazy. Well, so I went to bed early. That's the day I got home from Mexico. And I was in bed by like 8:30. So I woke up Sunday morning to work out like pretty early. And I'm listening to Mark Elfenbein on the ticket. I listened to him on Sunday mornings when I ride the Peloton. And he's like this whole lead up. And I'm like, for fuck's sake, Elf, spit it out. Like, what are you I couldn't believe, and I'm like, what are you even talking about? Like, it's so dramatic, dude. Like, just tell us what happened overnight. And he said, Luka to the Lakers, and I was like, you've lost your effing mind. And he,
I love that Elf told you the news. Like, Elf, you somehow missed it. You hadn't been on your phone.
Because I don't get on Twitter. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me is not getting on X or whatever. And so and I was like. Because I just thought he was being dramatic, like it's such a big trade. And I was like, okay, come on, just stop being
right.
dramatic.
Good radio tease.
Stop yeah. embellishing. And then he dropped it and I was like, oh, damn, he was right. This is for real, real big. Yeah, it's messed up. It's jacked up. And like, if you don't follow sports, like I'm trying to think of like an analogy and there's really not one that you could make. But like it came out of nowhere. It doesn't make hardly any sense to most people. I guess like hardcore basketball people can like dissect things and talk about windows and whatever, but it seems really jacked up. And then, you know, Luka, basically crying at his, not crying, but close
yeah,
to crying.
He's speaking
and his LA press conference.
Tuesday looks absolutely miserable.
Yeah.
Looks
I mean, like- he just, and then Chandler Parsons dropped that he like was, they were under contract for like a $15 million home in Dallas.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it was under contingency
or
whatever.
He just had a baby. I mean,
yeah.
His dad went on the record. Like his dad had some statements just saying like he's done everything asked of him. He's like loved getting ingratiated in the community, like going and doing, visiting children. Not to mention like dying on the court, like in the playoffs and in the finals and giving extra minutes, like giving everything that his body could possibly take for this team, for this organization, because we needed him. There were multiple stretches and seasons where he was it. Like he was it. And we needed every single ounce of his energy
and listen,
to compete.
He doesn't come without criticism. Like he does show up looking a little dad body a lot.
But who gives a shit?
Right.
You're that, when you can do those things.
Agreed. And also in the ref stuff is like, he doesn't guard anybody except for the refs. I mean, defense is definitely, but you're talking about a generational talent. I mean, he has his warts. He definitely was not perfect, but are those things like grounds for completely disposing of him? It just seems really weird. And then the thing that made me really grossed out was like the way Nico Harrison like handled it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It just seemed, I don't know. It just was like, dude, you're not at Nike. Was it Nike?
Nike.
Like, you're not at Nike anymore. Like, this isn't a fucking boardroom. Like, this is, you're talking about like people's emotional attachments to a sports franchise, which is what you want to create as an organization. you want to create those emotional ties to your, not just your organization, but to the players that make it up, all your staff, everyone associated with it. Like, that's what, you know, we've tried to do with the Rangers for so very many years, is to create that emotional connection between your organization and your fan base. And this is, I mean, they just took a giant turd on their fan base.
They did. And the fan base is the people who they're relying on to buy tickets, to sell jerseys to, yeah, to make all of their money. And Luca is somebody that will pull people in that aren't even basketball fans, that will pull moms in, that pull kids in. My six-year-old daughter, and I think it's really interesting to hear what kids are saying about this too, but like, my six-year-old daughter just was like, Luca's the only basketball player that I knew. Like, he's the only one I knew. I've heard a lot of parents say, like, I finally splurged and got these jerseys, uh-huh, like, for my kids, like, Luca jerseys, they're $100. Like, everybody's, he's that exciting. He's magical. You never know what he's going to do. He makes the half court shot at the buzzer. Like, that doesn't happen in the NBA. Like, he transcends the sport. Like, he is somebody that you can't take your eyes off of. He's the reason I want to watch the Mavericks.
Yeah, no, I agree.
He's the reason my kids want to watch. He's the only person that, like, I talk to Ryder about. Like, you've got to, like, if he's playing, I make my son sit down and watch. Like, this is magic. This is going to be like Michael Jordan. Like, everybody talks about him and he's ours. You've got to watch him, like, especially in the playoffs, especially in the NBA finals. And he was on our team.
Yeah.
We had that. Like, and you just trade it away and you don't even do it the right way, which would have been, I guess, putting it, like, getting the word out that, okay, we're going to shop him and we're going to get the best return possible. And what you do is something that you kind of, like, sneakily do overnight, and you get Anthony Davis and a guy, another guy, and then, like, a future draft pick, a future first round pick, which by every single account is just not enough, like, not a good return,
yeah,
at all. And so it just seems like it's was something that was done. It was a rash, almost, decision that was made by Nico Harrison. And I don't know how there's not more to the story. I don't know how there's not some sort of ego thing involved where, yes, we know that Luca, like you mentioned about the way he spoke to the refs, I'm sure he had an attitude towards authority,
yeah,
authority figures in the organization, and maybe was a little bit of a cocky, young, whatever, because he is that talented. And maybe Nico Harrison, the only thing I can think of is that, like, he couldn't stand his personality and, like, wanted to have the last laugh.
Yeah, like, I'm going to show you who's in charge.
Right, you're going to be sleeping and I can get your ass out of here and I'm just going to go ahead and do it. And then, right, rid my hands of it, and then we'll just deal with all the fallout because I have the power to do that as the general manager who's only been here for a few years, who doesn't understand,
yeah,
Mavs fans and, but, our organization, like, and our culture.
Cuban selling his, you know, majority stake in the team, and then this, I mean, the Mavericks are in a world of hurt.
Yes, yes.
I mean, because people are pissed.
It affects so many people. Like, yeah, it affects the people that work for the organization, the marketing department. Like,
oh my god,
one of the things I tweeted was like, how do you remove his face from everything overnight?
You,
like,
can't.
His face is on everything.
Yeah,
like, it just is shocking. It still doesn't feel real. It's very sad. I'm not gonna be able to watch the Mavericks. I'm not gonna be able to watch. I want to vomit when I see his picture in a Lakers uniform.
Fucking Lakers.
Lakers. He's LeBron's teammate. So, but, like, annoying. Anyone who sees him speaking today can see how upset he is.
Yeah.
And, like, that's not even you have to feel bad even as a Lakers fan. I don't know.
Well, and I feel bad for Anthony Davis. Like, you know, it's like, he's a really good player. Like, I hope people aren't, like, taking this shit out on him.
Yeah.
You know?
I saw a quote from him today because he's talking today as well. And it just said, like, I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to start playing.
Yeah.
Ready to, you know, but yeah, he's in a bad spot. Same with the young guy that came over with, yeah, him. I don't even know his name.
Is it Markieff Morris?
Well, he went there from, oh, here.
Oh. is it Bronny James?
Yeah. We get,
I remember who it was.
LeBron's son. But yeah, no, it's totally insane. And I don't know. I don't know what to do anymore. Like, I don't know if I'm going to want. I don't know.
I know. That's crazy.
I wanted to watch the Mavs because of Luka. Really, that was it.
I know.
Like, Derek Lively was fun to watch. Like, he's still there. You know, there were a few other players, but, like, it was Luka.
Well, and I mean, his teammates have got to be like, what the fuck?
Yep. They are. I mean, he was their leader.
I signed up to come here.
Right. Know. And that's the thing. Like, a Kyrie, like, they brought in players to compliment Luka. That was the whole makeup of,
yeah,
the Mavs and what they had been doing.
Such a weird reversal, of course. Just such a weird reversal, of course.
I hate it. And I hate that it affects so many people's
same
hearts.
Yeah, I know. Okay, let's get a little What's on Your Feed brought to us by our friends at Audrey Dolan's Media. And Rev, I got some baseball to tell y'all about after you tell us about ADM. Julie.
Yes, our friends at ADM helping us with our glow up on the socials. They can do all kinds of things for you if you have your own business and you just need that extra boost when it comes to your social media and growing your brand. They do influencer management, brand management, monetization management, collaboration management. They can help you get those collabs, influencer campaigns, content creation and photography, social media management and website design. So basically all those things that everybody is needing and wanting. I see so many posts even on my neighborhood Facebook group, like who can help with social media? Who can come take pictures? Like it's very important part of a business now, and Audrey Dolan's Media can help you with all of it. And we're very grateful to them.
Yay, ADM. Also, we are grateful that baseball is on its way back to Globe Life Field. Actually, college baseball is back at Globe Life Field. We've got the Shriners Children's College Showdown, which is February 14th through the 16th. You've got Oklahoma State, Clemson, Arizona, Ole Miss, Texas, Louisville. Those teams will be battling it out over the course of 3 days to take home the Shriners Children's College Showdown title. And there's a ton of college baseball coming up at Globe Life Field. We're going to be telling you about it leading up to each of the tournaments. I think there's three tournaments total, but everything gets going middle of this month, Friday the 14th through Sunday the 16th. Like I said, Oklahoma State, Clemson, Arizona, Ole Miss, Texas, and Louisville. So some of the top programs in the country will be on display at Globe Life Field. Great activity for you and the little ones. So head on out and check out some college baseball out at Globe Life Field. You can go to globelifefield.com/collegebaseball to get your tickets. And I think we're going to be doing a giveaway, too, in the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Grammys, you didn't watch much.
I didn't watch it at all. But Hattie was watching, which is weird.
Yeah. We were out. We didn't. Oh, that was the piano recital night. But I did get back and turn it on, and I tried to like see the recap. Taylor Swift did not win a Grammy. She went 0 for 6. She had 6 nominations. Beyonce won like Best Country Album for her Cowboy Carter, and she made like the ultimate shocked face when she did. So that's become a meme now. Everyone like.
And then somebody was trying to like clown on Kacey Musgraves or something because she had like bitch face when she won or something.
Kacey Musgraves. Oh, I didn't see that.
Or maybe I could even think of the wrong country artist, but I'm like. So you're going to, like, I don't know. I'm like, I didn't think she made that bad of a face, but I'm like, she just lost. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not big smiles when I don't win something. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. And to have a camera on you and everybody, like, you just have to be like.
Yeah,
but I will say, Tay-Tay going 0 for 6, she was, like, celebrating everybody.
Well, because and it was awesome. Because she has $1 bazillion.
I know.
And all the trophies she could ever want.
But we know people that have won all the things and have all the money and are still assholes.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of people. And she's not an asshole. No.
She does not appear to be an asshole.
She was very supportive. And even when Beyonce won Best Album of the Year, Beyonce won that.
Yeah.
And they showed Taylor and she's so happy for her. Or no, I think it was, Beyonce won Best Album, but then Kendrick Lamar won a big one too. And he's going to be the Super Bowl halftime performer.
Oh, I'm so excited.
But yeah, she was super pumped for all of them. And he was a big winner at the Grammys, I guess. I don't know much about him. I like all of his music.
And it was weird. Hattie was like, Mom, when the Grammys on? I'm like, I have no clue, honey.
Yeah.
But she was like watching him.
So my son, so Ryder's really into Benson Boone. Are your kids into him?
I know.
Beautiful of Things.
Him. Yes.
Yeah. And I guess.
These beautiful things that I love. Please. Hate.
These beautiful things.
What do I need you?
Yeah. Yeah. And he like flipped off the piano or something. Like,
oh.
So I just saw like highlights of his performance, but I think it's cool that kids are into this kind of thing and into these performers and wanting to watch and all that. Charlie XCX had a performance that's the brat one that
she
like
sends me over the edge.
She sends you.
I don't know.
You should have seen her performance then. It was over the edge.
She could punch me in the face right now. I wouldn't know her. Her name sends me over the edge. Like,
yeah, because she was in like a bikini, like a blue, interesting blue bikini thing.
Her name's Charlie XCX.
Well, her stage name
is what?
Charlie XCX or something.
What
like
does XCX stand for?
I have no idea.
Like, what are these names, these kids these days?
They have to stand out from the crowd.
Okay.
But she had all these people with her and they like
QR2.
Emily QR2.
I don't even know what that means, but it's just so
good. It sounds like a robot. Like R2-D2.
Yes.
But she was like in the club. They made it look like she was in the club. And
oh, good for her.
It was totally insane. But yeah, it was an interesting night. A lot of money was raised for the wildfire relief, and because it was in LA, of course. And then, of course, we've got the Super Bowl coming up. So that's been all over the feed, and a lot of Travis Kelce and people asking him questions about Taylor and all that. And then everybody doing their Super Bowl picks and talking about their Super Bowl parties and prep and everything else. How do you take it in?
Are you doing anything? I don't think we're doing anything.
I think I'm going to watch with the Dumb Zone. Oh. Actually, and I think Ryder and Kelly are going to plan like a father-son party.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, at our house.
What's Anna going to do?
She'll be at the father-son party.
Okay.
She watches a lot of sports.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so I'm going to go watch it with the guys, I think, and it'll be fun. Always have fun with them. Get to say some dumb stuff.
That's why they call it the Dumb Zone.
That's right.
Okay, do we have time for a little bit of news desk?
Yeah.
And then we can get to our special guests. TMG News Desk brought to us by our friends at Qualis Roofing and Construction, which is your trusted local roofing contractors offering the highest quality roofing and construction services. We've talked about them previously here on the podcast. They just want to have a good reputation in a industry that doesn't have the best reputation, but these guys are doing things the right way. They want to build relationships. They feel that's just as important as building a sturdy, stylish roof for their customers. They are locally owned, more than seven days of combined industry expertise, or 7 decades. That might make you feel a little bit better. They're here to serve you with first-rate roofing and construction services in the Dallas-Fort Worth and surrounding areas. They can do roofing services, roof replacement and installation, roof repair, storm restoration services, and roof maintenance. So if you're looking for top quality roofing or construction services, look no further than Qualis Roofing and Construction. You know, like I said, it's a necessary evil sometimes to get that roof repaired, but they can help you with the insurance process, all that kind of stuff. You may just need a checkup. They may tell you everything's just fine. They're not going to perform work on your home unless it is necessary and to your benefit. And we are excited about this partnership with them, because if you get a new roof with Qualis, you get to hang out in a Rangers suite with Julie and I for a Rangers game this Yay! Upcoming season. So that in itself should get you
right.
Yeah, get
you going.
You've
got a roof that's falling apart.
Yeah.
Get that thing fixed and come hang out with us at a Ranger game.
Absolutely. Free, no obligation inspections from Qualis Roofing. So give them a call, 817-500-9008. Mention the Mom Game when you call, because then if you get a roof, then you'll get to come to the suite with us to a Rangers game. So qualisgc.com, that's QUALISGC.com. Fill out the form, put in there that the Mom Game sent you, or give them a call, 817-500-9008. Mention the Mom Game and they will hook you up.
That's right. Thank you to our friends over at Qualis. I can't wait for that Ranger game.
I know.
Fun. It will be fun. It's right around the corner.
Yeah.
News stuff.
What's newsy?
The only news is that anybody... that too. And I was going to say that the only news I care about, and a lot of people care about, is the Lucas stuff. But the plane crash, we have to at least... I mean, it's terrible. And like for people like you, how do you feel? Like somebody that has a fear of flying.
Well, I was in Mexico when it happened. So I didn't really get a whole lot of news. We didn't turn on the TV there. So it was what was coming through like on social media. I still don't understand what happened.
No one really does yet. The video of it is like the military Black Hawk helicopter crashing straight into a American Airlines commercial flight that was going to land at the airport in Washington, D.C. was like on the descent, and then out of nowhere, helicopter comes out of nowhere and hits it. And so they're still, like, I think they're being very careful about saying anything until they really know why. The helicopter, it looked like the helicopter just did not see the plane there. And
can you not see a plane?
Right.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I've never been a
There were three
pilot.
Pilots on the helicopter that were military people. And I guess it was some sort of, like, training session type thing. The woman pilot who I believe was flying had like 500 hours of flight time under her belt, which is not nothing, but not a ton.
Yeah.
And there's been like theories about what you can and can't see in that type of helicopter with that type of in the dark with the reflection of the, you know, the Potomac River was right underneath them and all kinds of stuff. But they're, as they should, like they're not going forward with anything until they are really sure what might have caused this. And then it's just disastrous. The 66 or however many people were on the plane, like turns out it was a lot of kids, like a group of U.S. figure skaters that had just come from a competition in Wichita. It was a duo that had skated in the Olympics, and they're the coaches, and some sisters that were young, multiple young, really promising figure skaters that were like some of the best of the best and had just taken part in this competition. Videos have emerged of them like performing the day before, you know, like it's just terrible. Some guys who were coming back from a hunting trip, like guys in their 40s, you know, like our husbands, like that were hunting in Kansas. A mom of two, her name's Wendy. She has two little kids. She was coming back from somewhere, a couple of like lawyers that were flying back that lived on the East Coast up in DC. It's just absolutely terrible. And, you know, when you see something like that happen, like the next few days are just going to be gut wrenching because you're going to see photos of the people and you're going to hear the accounts from their families that were going to pick them up at the airport. And I guess there hasn't been a crash like this in a commercial flight. Like,
it's been forever.
It's been forever to where you almost forget.
You do.
And you don't worry about that happening. No, you kind of feel safe.
As someone who has a healthy fear of flying, you do kind of rationalize it to yourself. Like, that just doesn't happen. And so it does jar you as someone who's scared of flying, naturally. It is jarring. But I think, too, just the sheer numbers of it, if you just, you know, look at it from a logical standpoint, which is difficult when you have a innate fear of something, that you just like, well, I mean, doesn't happen that often.
It doesn't. Yeah. I mean, and you can't, it'd be a really hard world to live in where you say you don't fly.
You know?
Like if you're too fearful of that, but there is something very scary about giving up control.
Oh yeah.
To somebody else and not knowing what is going on in their
that's
world.
That's what it's about.
You know? Yeah.
Control.
Did your kids see the news, or have they talked about it?
No, I just turn on the TV. Literally we turn on the TV for sports. Like I don't think my kids know it. They may not even know what the news is.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's probably good. I've been kind of like shielding my kids from that, only because I don't want them to, and you can't protect your kids from everything.
No,
but like
can't.
Thinking about getting on the next flight. Like,
yeah.
You know, I just don't want them to think that that's something that,
it's
same with their house burning down, you know, like these things are insane that have been happening. And then the Luke thing, I'm like, is this a real life? Are we in real life?
I know.
A lot.
I know.
A lot right now. But that's why we have sports, which never let us down. Sports are our escape. That's why we like watching basketball.
Okay. There's a dig.
Yes.
Okay. We need to get to our guests. Brought to us by our friends at Community.
Yes. It is time to head on over to our guests, and we are super grateful to our friends over at Community Mechanical. As we know, we're getting a little bit of a heat wave right now, which is going to go away, but then it's going to come back for real, and it's going to get very hot. So right now is the time to make sure that your HVAC system is working. Might be making a funny noise. Maybe you haven't changed the air filter. Maybe it's a battle between you and your spouse. Who's going to do it, and have you bought it, and is it time to do it? And then along the way, you're just not doing it. That's not good. Community Mechanical can help you with all of this. They can help you with that preventative maintenance. You can get on a plan where they come out, all preventative maintenance customers will receive a 10% discount on all parts and repairs. They'll also help you with design and build. If you're looking at building a new residential or commercial property, or if you're just remodeling your current space, they can help you design that too. They have somebody on staff with a design background that can help you design your ductwork. True story, they actually went out to Dan McDowell's house and went up and looked at his system and realized that it was like blowing
carbon monoxide out into the air. And if they hadn't gone there, his house might have exploded. And they're coming and working with my house and my ductwork too, because we have had trouble getting heat and cooling up into the upstairs, which is where my children are, and I want them to be comfortable. So definitely worth a call, or head over to their website, communitydfw.com. Make sure you click on the Mom Game. There's a little form where you can say where you heard about them. Or you can pick up the phone and call or text. You can text them if you don't like to call. 469-667-7290. And also 0% financing if you decide to go ahead and pull the trigger and work with these guys. And they're wonderful people to work with as well. Time now for our special guest and a wonderful story that we're excited to bring you.
We have been talking, or I have been talking to these two for quite some time, wanting to get them on the show, but wanted to be sure that they were ready to talk about, you know, their situation, life in general. It is Emily and Jared Sandler. Jared, of course, my coworker, I guess, officially now, with the Texas Rangers.
Just coworkers, not friends.
Kind of, we are friends. He's kind of like my work son. My work nephew, I guess.
Yeah. Say like sister, brother.
Right. She went son.
Yeah. I did. Well, I mean, it's kind of, when you're older, this is kind of what you do.
Y'all are closer names than that.
This is true. This is true. I just sometimes treat him like a child.
Fair. But I need it.
I'm sure you can identify, Emily. But we wanted to have you guys on today. Okay, you want to go heavy first, or we want to go light first?
I don't care.
How about Luca?
Okay. All right. We're going to go Luca. Well, I do want to talk about so I've talked about on the show my decreased role with the Rangers and how I'm, you know, kind of transitioning backward, and you are transitioning very much forward. You will now be the pre and post game host for the Rangers Sports Network.
RSN, yeah.
Congratulations. Are you excited?
I am. I've never really hosted on TV before.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't realize that was the okay. Yeah, you're the guy. All right.
I'm very excited. I mean, this organization means a lot to me, just like it does to you. And so, to be able to grow in that way is exciting. I think it's a little nerve wracking. Like, I kind of, you know, we're building this thing from scratch, right? So, which is really fun, and I think we've got the ability to do some really cool things. And you know, God love baseball, but baseball is not all, and things associated with baseball aren't necessarily the quickest to change and adapt. And so, and in part because the fan base is used to things a certain way. And so, I'm just looking forward to dealing with some of the road bumps and working around those and problem solving and getting to work. And I think the really cool thing is, and it is a bummer. I mean, I feel about you. I, you know, my Julie, I mean, you get to work with her all the time now. I don't think I would have my head on without Emily. And so it's a little bit of a bummer that, you know, you're taking a step back, but you've put in your time, right?
You're ready to fly, Jay. You are ready to fly.
But what's cool is that we're all kind of doing this together. The way it always used to be was, you know, the pre and post, they're like their own little, how often we would maybe see Mark McLemore every once in a while. And by the way, you know, Mac, I think 20 years in the broadcast, and, you know, I'm definitely aware of the changes there. And I feel, you know, I feel for those people who've given so much to the organization, but we're all doing it together. So, you know, I get to do this with Dave, and that's like awesome, you know, and Bassick and Murph and, you know, obviously Eric and Matt, but I'm looking forward to that, and then for you and Laura as well to kind of all join in on this. It should be a lot of fun.
Elvis is so excited. Elvis, I mean, yeah, I talked to him when I was in Mexico after the introductory press conference, and he's like, "Emmy, where were you? We missed you." And he's like, "You know, you have to help me. You have to." I was like, "You're going to be just fine, honey. You are going to be just fine."
He's good looking.
Just wind him up.
He is like charismatic. He's got this infectious smile. Yeah. I mean, he is built for this.
Yeah. Oh,
when you're a player that's beloved like that, like, you can say anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can tell a story about making pancakes in the morning instead of talking about the game, and everyone will be like, "Oh my God, That's amazing.
I know, but the thing about Elvis is he's like, he's taking it really seriously. He's like, I don't want to be boring. I want to say good stuff. And I was like, okay, you're going to be great.
Yeah, like the insight they have because they played the game is so natural to them. Like they don't even
especially so soon removed. I mean, he hasn't been out of the game for a while.
Yeah.
Okay, so Emily, I know how much Jared works. It's a lot. This
might have been a point of contention recently.
This seems like, I mean, you might as well at this point be like you're a baseball wife because he's going to be gone probably just as much as the players. I mean, and I feel that same way about, but he's kind of been that way in the radio role.
Yeah.
How has this been for you as Jared's wife?
Well, first of all, I'm grateful that it's been a slow transition because he's done more and more games every year and traveled more and more every year. So rather than just going from like a whole 180, it's been a slow transition, which I'm very grateful for because I feel like it's kind of geared me up for this year with like full-time travel, as to where before I would probably be like, oh my gosh, what am I gonna do, you know? And so I know more or less what to expect now, but no, I'm excited to go on more trips, see more places for me.
Yeah,
personally.
Exactly. Yeah, and this is the time to do it. This is definitely the time to do
That's what we keep saying. It's like now's the time in our lives to take advantage of it and, you know, travel on points. So why not?
There you go.
She's going to have to, I mean, you've seen me show up to the ballpark at times. I mean, I always have like jeans and a polo, but my hair might be in 17 different directions. And I am definitely looking like I'm about to be on radio and not TV.
Yeah, we're going to have to go to Sephora. There's going to be up his
team effort on
hair and
somehow
makeup.
Figuring out. Julie, I don't know.
It's a big difference.
This is like, so I am a hoodie, sweatpants, basketball shorts person.
Right.
Ask if he could wear basketball shorts to our wedding. No, if that could be our attire.
Sweatpants. I think I was like respectful of like covering the leg in sweatpants.
Yeah.
But like this is I can't hide
anymore. At least sneakers are cool now though for guys to wear with suits, like the whole suit and sneaker look.
Yeah.
So are you gonna be like with the Rangers? I mean, so it's a whole new network, like you referenced. So is the dress code like what people are expecting, or is it like cool and hip and like?
I think it's. I bought a few suits last year because last year was my first year doing some TV, and I think we're going away with suits. I don't think suits this year. I am of the understanding that we are not doing suits.
Okay.
Is that breaking news? Are you allowed to?
I'm sure Evan Grant's going to roll with that.
I will say I am on record as saying I refuse to wear polos. So if that's in the cards for this chick, take it out.
What about quarter zip?
I
feel like a quarter zip's a little bit better.
You know what though? I'm kind of the opinion like, don't tell me what to wear. I'll wear what I want. Fair.
If you want to tell me to wear and it's dressing down from a suit,
then
you
can
tell me anything.
I get it.
Well, see, I'm the same way. Like whenever we have Jared's Sandlot event and he's like, Emily, I want you to wear your polo. I'm like, I'll wear what I want to wear.
Yeah.
Like I can wear a polo when, especially I'm supposed to be going around talking to 1,000 people. Yeah. If they're feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, they're not flattering. Like we did that at the Dirt event and you know, Anthony's like, everyone has to wear their polos. And I'm like,
that's
okay,
what I say to Jared every year.
Yeah.
Until you put me on the board, I have no obligation to wear a polo.
Thank you. Amen to that.
Look good, feel good, right?
Exactly.
So
you are on the board.
As of this year, only because I've given him so much, you know.
Junk
about it.
Stuff.
Yeah.
So Jared, just one more question about the job and the switch and all that. Obviously play by play, like that's your thing, right? That's your end goal. That's your love. And I know a play-by-play guy, it's like a play-by-play guy is a play-by-play guy. Like that's your thing, right? And I know this just from working with Josh Bogorod, right? Like this was the same exact path that he kind of took. It was minor league play-by-play and then getting asked to do pre and post. And he just kind of went with it and then was great at it. And now all of a sudden he's the guy. But how different is that going to be for you, not calling the games, and how are you kind of wrapping your head around that?
So I will do about half the games on radio.
Okay.
And then I'll do 10 games on TV. So that will keep me fueled up, I guess.
And TV pre and post?
So the
yeah, I guess I don't fully understand
so
going to
TV
do it.
So baseball's weird. So baseball... Okay, so hockey, obviously there's Josh and Razor, and then previously Ralph and Razor, and they have defined roles. Ralph's the play-by-play guy, Razor's the color guy. Although, you know, I guess there was that stretch where Razor did play-by-play. But in baseball and the radio, a lot of teams, and the Rangers are one of them, you have two play-by-play guys. They trade off who's the play-by-play guy and who's the analyst, but So when I do play-by-play on radio, we call it the number two. So I'm not the one who's going to have the first inning. So I will do, for the games I'm filling in for mostly Eric, but sometimes Matt Hicks, Eric being Eric Nadell, I'll still do the pre and post on TV.
Uh-huh.
And then, and that will be on the field. And then we have not the fastest elevator system at Globe Life Field, but that's okay, because after that I will go up to the booth. And if I get there in, you know, two batters into the top of the first inning, I'm not leaving anyone stranded, because I usually don't say a whole lot in the top of the first anyway while either Eric or Matt are kind of setting the scene. Now, TV is different. TV, we have a play-by-play guy and a radio or and an analyst. So when I'm doing, when I'm filling in for Dave Raymond, which is only going to be 10 games, someone else will do the pre and post.
Okay.
And I'm not sure who.
So there will be plenty of games where you're doing pre-radio, play-by-play, post.
And that's not...
That's going to be a lot.
No, it is a lot.
They knew what they were doing, though. I mean, they knew it because Jared... Yeah. I mean, he's like... The dude's sending like emails at like 5 a.m. about like a fantasy football pick'em contest or some shit. And then he'll go where it's crazy the way
you probably, you're going to eat it all up. And you're going to be great.
Yeah. I mean, they knew that he's not going to half ass it, and it's going to be great.
I'm excited. It'll be a lot of fun. It's not play by play, but I love the conversation aspect of it. And I'm hoping that out of this, we'll be able to have some great conversations with all the people involved to help connect fans to the team, to players, right? I think that's always cool. I mean, that's why we're all in mourning right now, right? Because, you know, we felt a connection to a player who is no longer playing for one of our hometown teams. But building those connections is fun. And then and talking about the game and just sharing our love for baseball. Because I don't think this is a secret. Maybe people like around my age and younger, the love for baseball is not what it is for those older than us. I mean, the older generation is the generation that really drove the love of baseball. And I think that we've got an opportunity to try and bring back in a younger audience. And I'm excited about that.
Awesome. Well, congrats.
Thank you, Julie. Yeah,
you're appreciate welcome.
It. It's exciting. Okay. Well, so one of the things that I wanted to talk to you guys about, and that I know you haven't really been ready, but now you feel like you are.
As you're
ever going to be. And that subject is your issues with fertility. And I have not been privy to everything that you have been through as a couple, and you personally, Emily. I've been privy to a lot of it, and it's been a lot. I told you I did IVF with Henry, and I didn't tell anyone. It was very weird. I mean, that was, you know, 15, 13 years ago. And, you know, it's just weird. You kind of feel like you're on an island by yourself, mm-hmm. and you're looking for people to identify with. What has this fertility struggle been like for you personally? What have you learned about yourself? How are you still in the process of navigating it?
Yeah. It's so weird to think this is 5 years now, which is so crazy. It's crazy to think this all started in May of 2020, which is wild. But I think to answer your first question, what have I learned about myself throughout this process? I feel like I've learned to give myself a lot of grace, and thus in turn others, which it's made me a lot more gentle on myself and also on other people, which I'm grateful for, like that change in perspective, because that's probably not something that I thought about, or, you know, like really would have taken the time to think about, you know, what is someone else really going through in the day to day that they're not talking about, and like, you know, just really giving that grace to myself and others. That's first and foremost the main thing. But what's your other question?
Yeah. I mean, I guess too. No, I mean, yeah. I mean, you,
sorry, I'm coming up with a procedure yesterday.
I know, so like, I know. Right in line with this, with this subject matter.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, you know, it's, for me, it was like, it's like the basic instinct as a woman, or not everybody has it, but I mean, I just want to be a mom. Like, why can't this most basic function? Come on. Like, people get knocked up all the time. What's happening over here? So, you know, for you, how quickly did you know, like, this is going to be a process, and we don't know how long this process is going to last?
Yeah. So, before I dive into the details, Jared kind of told me to ask, do you want like the summarized version or do you want the details?
Yeah, this could take
a right. Long. No, because... I mean, I think probably the summarized version. Okay. I mean, just because we don't want to lose people in the weeds of like specific procedures and different things like that. But I think it's so important to know that like, okay, it started as this and then it just kind of kept snowballing and then we're doing all of these things.
Sure. Okay. So to kind of start you out on like how we even got on this journey. So we got naturally pregnant first month of trying in May of 2020. We were pregnant. We lost the baby at 9 weeks. We went in for our scan, saw the heartbeat, great heartbeat, all of that. And then we went in for another scan after we noticed some things weren't normal. And that's when we saw there wasn't a heartbeat. And so my doctor, kind of knowing my health history with arthritis and whatnot, she was like, let's do a DNC because she wanted to be able to test the fetus, which was super helpful because that gave us a lot of knowledge. And I'm so thankful for her foresight in being able to see like, okay, let's just not do anything here and just move on. Like she was like, let's see what maybe this can give us some answers. And right off the bat, she saw that the fetus had a chromosomal abnormality. And she's like, well, let's test you also, because that's kind of not something that you would see. It's not one of the most common ones. And so we did some genetic testing on me and saw that I'm not just a carrier for, but I actually have what's called Robertsonian translocation 13 and 14, meaning I can really nerd out here. Wow. Meaning my 13th and 14th chromosomes are actually touching. So I only have 45 chromosomes instead of 46 chromosomes. And for people who aren't familiar, like every person has 46 chromosomes. So I only have 45. And so half of my eggs will only have 45 chromosomes. They will inherit that Robertsonian translocation. So that's half of the problem. But then in addition to that, I also have a microduplication of my X chromosome, which I actually inherited from my mom. And we didn't know any of this until this pregnancy, which was also wild. Like my mom didn't even know she had it. This was all news to the whole family. So not to get too nitty gritty there, but so that was kind of how we found out all of this was a thing. We went right into IVF. Our doctor was like, to kind of avoid future chromosomal abnormalities, like let's go right into IVF. So we did that.
They basically said for us to have a natural pregnancy, like was going to be, I mean, she didn't say this. Emily was kind of, the only reason we didn't know about this is Emily is an only child.
Yeah.
Her mom only tried once. And so if there was maybe a second attempt at a kid, like
we might have known. Yeah.
But Emily was kind of the like against the odds birth, like success story. But like the doctor's basically like the odds of this happen, it's not worth putting yourself through this.
Right.
And then if you have a kid successfully, which the odds are not in your favor, that kid is probably going to
carry the
same. And then perhaps have other problems as well.
Yeah. And so just to like kind of give you a picture to like put it together. So like my 13th and 14th chromosomes are like this. Most of my eggs will have them on top of each other. And that is what makes them not viable. And so that's kind of what the doctors were saying. Like, because my mom only tried once, she got pregnant with me her first month of trying as well. And like, it was kind of all things aligned in order for me to not have any major disabilities, which is kind of a miracle if you think about it, like how it all kind of just lined up to where they are touching, which not saying I'm a miracle, but how it all just kind of lined up chromosomally, which is really fascinating. But so then we went right into IVF. We started with an IVF doctor here in Dallas. We did an egg retrieval, 2 rounds of IVF with him. Our first round, we didn't get pregnant. Our second round, we got pregnant and lost the baby at, I think it was 7 or 9 weeks. I honestly don't remember at this point because I was in 2021. Seven weeks. And then we moved to a doctor in Colorado who we had just kept hearing his name, that he specializes in very unique cases, which because I have two chromosomal abnormalities that are not the norm, it was deemed a unique case. And so we went and saw him for a year, did an egg retrieval with him. Then we did 2 transfers with him as well. First one also didn't take at all. Second one, I was 9 weeks and on bed rest starting at 7 weeks, which was wild in itself.
Yeah.
And ended up losing, those actually twins. We lost both of those babies at 9 weeks. And then we moved on to surrogacy, from the request, or from the recommendation of our doctor. We had an amazing surrogate. We actually met her in person for the very first time at the World Series game in Arizona because she lives in Arizona. And so that was so cool. Like, just another aspect of like how baseball played a role in like us getting to travel and getting to see her.
And she's from Mesa, Arizona.
Yeah.
We got her profile, and this is the whole surrogacy process is bizarre, but we got her profile the same day the Rangers played the Cubs in Mesa, Arizona.
Which was the day I flew out to spring training.
Oh, wow.
In 2023.
She could have been anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
But we got a profile for a woman. We had already said no to one. This was our second.
This was our second.
From Mesa, Arizona. And after the game, Emily sent me an email. Or just like, hey, check the pro. I guess I got the email. She's like, check it out. And I was driving back from Mesa. And here's this woman from Mesa. And we were like, you're looking for any little slither of hope, and this is it.
Like meant to be, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, our first surrogate that we got, she was in Mississippi, just to give you an idea. Like, they literally could be all over the place. And so it was just really, really cool. She's an angel of a human. The whole reason why she even wanted to do this was because her sister had a hard time having a child, and so she wanted to help someone else. It was just on her heart, which a lot of people, for anyone who's somewhat familiar with surrogacy, like, a lot of people do it for the money, which I completely respect, whatever you need to do. But I just, this woman was a veterinary sonographer, also ironically at the emergency vet that we go to, but at the one in Mesa, Arizona. Huh. And she just had it on her heart. Like, that was just the person she is. And so we did two transfers with her, one in December of 2023 and one in February of 2024. Neither took at all. But I guess it's kind of jumping ahead a little there also.
Well, Emily, you remember one.
Yeah.
So the day we left... So yeah, we were going through surrogacy, and there's so much that Emily's leaving out, intentionally, because there's just so much, right? Yeah. Like, decisions.
Summary without getting too detailed.
There's so many like decisions along the way to get you from like point A to point B. But just to throw a curveball, the day we left for Tampa Bay to begin,
it's October 1st. I don't know.
2023.
Yeah.
Emily tells me that she's pregnant, and like, not obviously a total surprise. Like, that's not, she is able to get pregnant.
Yeah.
Just can't hold it.
So we thought.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
yeah,
my emotions are mixed at this point, and I feel guilty, but like, I thought, are we setting ourselves up for another unhappy ending? And like, but like, what are you going to do? I mean, all right, let's ride it out. Well, that night at the bar at the hotel in Tampa, I'm with Emily and Emily
Jones.
Yeah. I have to distinguish.
Yeah. How many Emily's in your life?
And I'm lucky I've never sent any texts to the wrong Emily, because I text both them a lot.
should you? I mean, like,
yeah. Like, why do you not want that Emily to know?
Yeah. You know, they say like, "Hey, baby," or something. Emily says it.
She'd be like, "Wrong Emily." Yeah.
Emily goes to the bath. Emily Jones goes to the bathroom, and I thought she was still gone, and so I called Emily Sandler to check on her. And Emily Jones walks up behind me, and she can't unhear what she just heard. And so, like, literally, within 24 hours of me finding out that my wife is pregnant, we have no idea. Emily Jones knew, and it was actually kind of a blessing in disguise, because you were, I could kind of go to you along the way that month, which was a roller coaster month.
Well, I think the main thing here is like, having a safe person to go to throughout all of this is huge.
And it doesn't, I felt like, so when I was doing it with Henry, again, I did it one time, it worked. I hate to even say it out loud in y'all's presence.
Oh my gosh, but that's amazing.
Right, yes. But like, I just remember having someone, and it was Dave Burchett's daughter-in-law. And I didn't know her, but she was my IVF buddy. Yeah. And I told her and my sister and my husband, of course, no one else in my family knew.
Yeah.
Because you kind of want, like, you want to be able to talk about it when you want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And it's the constant, how is everything? How are you doing? How is it? Has it anything new? But, and it's just like, I just don't want to talk about it. You know what I mean? It's such a delicate subject.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you're on a constant roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah, totally. And so one thing I want to add, because I think it's just so, I don't know, like serendipitous is the word, but the day I found out, so our dog has health problems. He's a dachshund, so he has a slip disc in his back. And so it happened. He had a flare up of his back. And I called my mom over because, again, Jared was in Tampa. And I was like, will you come over? I need to take Cooper to the emergency vet, VEG, veterinary emergency group, which is where our surrogate at the time is also a sonographer, but again, in Arizona. And so we're on our way to the vet and I'm telling my mom in the car, my mom's driving me, I'm holding Cooper and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so nauseous. I was like, I think I'm just so nervous. Like I could seriously throw up like right now. My mom was like, really? And I'm like, I don't know what it is. Like, I think I'm just so nervous about Cooper. Like, I think I'm gonna be sick. So like we get to the vet, I'm fine. There was this horrible case there and I was like, oh my God, I seriously think now I'm really going to be sick. I didn't get sick, but my mom was like, okay, this is like, why are you so nauseous, like over being anxious? I was like, I don't know. So later I was like, I guess that was kind of weird. So I went home and I took a pregnancy test and I was very much pregnant. It was one of those things where like it didn't even wait to pop up, like immediately popped up. So then that's when I called Jared. It's all just weird how it ties in. All that to say,
it didn't work out.
Okay, let's just jump right to it. Okay. I was going to say,
so you're pregnant. So the surrogate is pregnant.
No. So the surrogate never got pregnant.
The surrogate never got pregnant. But so you're going through the surrogacy process.
Yeah. So we had the surrogate. She was going through her final steps of being cleared because it's a very long process to be cleared. You have to fly in and see the doctor and then start medicine, and it's a very long process to be cleared. So we had her like on retainer. We're paying her. I won't get into details of that because that's there's so many also details there.
Can I just pause quickly? I think one of the there are so many things that are just like it would blow your mind.
Yeah,
the process. And I think the reason we finally decided we were ready to do this, because I think I'm speaking for Emily, like. We don't like enjoy, this is not like a fun subject matter, but I think it's, we've kind of felt like, hey, this is the hand we've been dealt. We don't want pity out of this. We want to hopefully help someone. And like, there's so many questions that probably could arise and we're not going to be able to come close to covering any or all of it. But like, one thing you just, the negotiation of like surrogacy is like nothing. No one prepares you for this. Like, forget the fact that like in high school, no one prepares you how to like buy a house. Like that's, I can go to you, Emily, Julie, I can go to you and be like, hey, like what was your experience? Like what should I know? You go to family. No one prepares you for any of this.
There's realtors that do that for a living. Exactly. That help you. There's no like surrogacy agent. to go help you.
Right.
No one prepares you at all.
No, you're fine. So I was pregnant, and just to touch on this really briefly, but it was a completely uncomplicated pregnancy, which we were just floored. Like I passed all of the tests, strong heartbeat. Everything was going beautifully. I was 12 weeks pregnant, and throughout all of this was the World Series, like. The playoffs. And then we went through all of the different series to get there. And then we end up at the World Series. I'm still very much pregnant. Like I had this massive rash on my face. It was around Halloween. And I had this huge rash around my face. And I remember one of my friends was like, oh, well, it's perfect for Halloween. Yeah. Like, and I just had to go to all of these games, like dousing myself in makeup to cover up this rash because whatever. So then because I'm high risk, we did what's called the CVS test, I believe.
CVS.
Yeah. Where they put the needle in your stomach. Sorry if anyone's queasy. And to do genetic testing, and through all of the scans thus far, they had seen that the baby had only developed 2 heart chambers instead of 4. And so that was, in addition to being high risk, we needed to see a maternal fetal medicine doctor, which is the high risk doctor, to just kind of figure out what was going on. And we did the CVS test. That's by far, I think, the worst thing I've gone through in the last 5 years, which it's not for the faint of heart.
Of the testing.
Of the,
yeah.
Of injections, yeah. Everything. Yeah. It was just wild. Yeah. And so we found out, we named the baby Remy because we were trying to think of a name that wasn't like on our list of names. And we named her Remy because she was resilient and a miracle. So R-E-M-I, that's how we came about it. And we found out that Remy had only developed 2 heart chambers. And I think this is also something that a lot of our friends and family also don't know. I think only 3 people in our lives know this part. But she also had Down syndrome. And, you know, with our charity for kids with disabilities, like that didn't scare us in any way. We were prepared. Like, we know how amazing kids with disabilities are. Like, they are some of the most joyful people in the world, which is just, oh my gosh, just the most amazing thing, how they see life. And so that didn't scare us one bit. But we did end up having to go have a D&E outside of Texas. And that was because the doctors had told us through all of our scans that she either wasn't going to make it to term or she was going to live a day or two once she was born. And that was something, I think this is the whole reason why we haven't yet been prepared to share part of our story, because there are a lot of things that are like not meant to be political. Like, we don't want to be, we don't want them to be political. This is solely like a human aspect. Like, this is something like we have wanted nothing more in the last 5 years than to have a baby.
Right.
And we were faced with this decision of like, this is the last thing we want to do, you know? And so we had to go out of state to have a D&E because we didn't want Remy to feel anything. We didn't want me to have to go through what could be a full-term pregnancy, knowing she wasn't going to survive at all.
And there were health elements for Emily, too.
Being high risk already.
And I think a lot of people, like you said, I you know, I don't mess with politics or whatever, but it's something that people don't right, but it's something that people don't take into account. Like, they just think it's like, you know, you're either anti-abortion or you're pro-life, or that's the same thing. Whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but
like,
no, I know what you mean.
It's like there are circumstances that, like, it's not, you're like you said, that's all you wanted was to have a baby. Like, you're not going to do anything to prevent that if at all possible.
Absolutely. You know? And so I think one of the, we were talking about, like, outside of just sharing our story, like, we want there to be purpose in coming on this show. And, like, the purpose we were talking about this when we were on a walk the other day, like, the thing I want to really share and, like, my purpose in coming on doing this podcast is that, like, education. I feel like people don't know what they don't know, right? Like, I don't know what I don't know. Same with people all across the world. But I think sharing our story, and like a couple who has been trying for nothing more, has devoted the last 5 years to doing nothing but trying to have a baby, having a D&E is the last thing in the world we would want to do. But sometimes they are medically necessary. And so I think educating people on the different experiences or reasons why that might be necessary is like one of my purposes, because I think it can help educate people. And there's no fault of people if they don't know what they don't know. But like, sharing experiences that might help educate people, I feel like, is only going to, you know, help people understand that it might be more than just what they think.
It might not have happened to them, but hearing your authentic story of why this was necessary for you.
It's not just that you're, let's just go.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and so that was Remy. We lost her at 15 weeks on 12/12.
And the day before, we found out our surrogate didn't take. So it was a
double whammy.
48 hours of
24 hours, we were sitting we were sitting in the Levain Bakery when we got the phone call, and we were just gutted. And
I want to say something about that,
which
quickly.
Is so sad because I love Levain Bakery. Now I can't think of it the same at all anymore.
You laugh about that, but like, that's, there's so many like big things that people could like anticipate. There are also so many little things, like you're sitting and watching your favorite TV show, and you know what? The storyline of this show involves a baby. And like, on a Monday, that might not impact you one bit, but maybe the day you're watching it, you're like, I can't handle this. Or Emily used to, I mean, our freezer used to have all these Levain cookies and she loved them. And like, you know, it's a simple little thing, but like.
Well, they also stopped selling them at Central Market. So okay, well,
maybe she would have gotten over them, but for a while she didn't want to do anything with Levain.
Right.
And yeah, like, you know, you have friends who have kids, and I mean, all of our best friends have kids pretty much with the exception of a couple. And it's always been our thought and our hope to like be Uncle Jared and Aunt Emmy. And, you know, not just with our actual blood nieces and nephews, but with our best friends' kids, because we have we're very fortunate. We have a very close circle of friends, and like it is family. Mm-hmm. And what is heartbreaking is that I think we both feel like awful people at times. We know we're not. I mean, well, it's for other people to determine, but I don't think we are.
Definitely.
But like, you know, we have one of our best friends, they just had a baby, and we have yet to meet. I randomly happened to meet her briefly, but we've yet to go over and see them because we just.
We have to be in the exact, like, perfect place
to protect yourself first.
Well, yeah, and it's like some days are harder than others.
For these
and
people,
that's
okay. Right?
And, right. And if they're good friends, they'll understand.
Yeah.
You have to protect yourself.
Yeah, and I think that.
And you'll meet them.
It's
eventually.
Also. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's also an aspect that, like, for other people going through it, that, like, I feel like I've been able to help communicate to other people going through it, is that, like, one, you have to look after yourself first and foremost, like, but also, like, you have to be in the right mindset to have these discussions, to approach these topics, to see people. Sometimes you might have to skip out on a friend's first birthday party and, like, let me go celebrate with you one-on-one instead. You know, I'll bring them their present one-on-one because I can't handle being around 50 kids at a birthday party, but I want to celebrate you. And so that's something I've done plenty of times over the last 5 years, is like, I want to celebrate you. I want to be with you, but like, I can't do it around 50 other moms with 50 other kids today.
Yeah.
You know?
And what are they going to be talking about? They're, oh, you know, what's it like with your newborn?
Yeah.
And they should. Like, that's, we hope to have those conversations one day.
Course.
But it's no one's fault. And the other thing too is, and we were talking about this the other day, like, what do you want out of people? You want consistency, right? I want to, and everyone's going to have their days when they've got a bad mood and like that happens. But like, consistency helps. You know who you can give a hard time to. You know, like, God love him, Matt Hicks. I know that no matter the day, I can give Matt Hicks a hard time about anything. And he's amazing. He takes it all.
He does. Especially when he wears shorts.
Especially when he wears shorts. And that's a blinding.
And he puts up with you.
Those things are white. Woo!
But the problem
is that what people say about me when I wear shorts?
No. But Matt, it's like literally glaring. It's like, whoa! Yeah. And he gets all like, he's doesn't bother a bit. No, he's, oh, yeah.
Love the color.
But like with this, there is no consistency. So I would imagine for friends.
It's tough.
They want to know, like, so can I bring up this or can I? And like.
It's so hard.
We wish that there was like a playbook. We wish that it was the same every day.
Mondays, you can talk about kids. But Tuesdays, off limits.
It's just not. And I know it makes it difficult, and that's not our goal. But like, that is one of the challenges. Like, so the day-to-day socially that is not directly tied to fertility has been an absolute obstacle course the last 5 years for us and probably the people in our life, right? Like, you've seen me at the ballpark days where typing in a computer, I don't want to talk to anyone.
Yeah.
You know, and then there are days when I'm, you know, right in the mix, and same for Emily.
Yeah.
So, but you've tried everything. I mean, like, there's nothing you haven't tried.
Let's see. So I've had 3 egg retrievals. We've done 4 transfers into me, 2 transfers into a surrogate. We have an amazing new surrogate. And she's been, we'd clicked right off the bat. We matched with her in, was it May of 2024? Mm-hmm. Around then, I think. And she's a gem of a human. She's going through the final steps of her clearing process, which has unusually taken, I would say, 2 times or 3 times as long as it normally does, because she has this one little
hurdle
she's trying to clear. But she's amazing. And we text every single day, which is a huge blessing. Like, to be able to have that relationship with someone is not the norm, and I'm so grateful for that. And so I'm also prepping to do a transfer again at some point. And then we're also exploring egg donor as well.
Okay, so you're still gonna put in the surrogate and put in you?
We don't know.
Maybe.
I mean, we're prepping my body for a transfer, either with one of my embryos that we still have frozen or with an egg donor.
By the way, I want to, because I had an awkward conversation with Mark Folliwell 4 years ago. We were at breakfast and I was explaining that our sister-in-law at one point was volunteering to be our surrogate.
Shame.
And Mark spent the entire meal thinking.
Thinking you were doing it with your sister-in-law?
Yes. Yeah,
so a surrogate is... A
gestational carrier.
Yeah, a gestational carrier, someone who carries...
Mark. Yeah, we know this?
It is so common.
You don't have to go do it with the surrogate.
The amount of people that think that...
Weird? Like, and I was like, no, I mean, like, we're deciding on certain things. And he's like... He kept giving me this look, and then it finally clicked. I realized what he was thinking.
Oh, my goodness.
So
I've gotten that question a lot, though. Like, wait, so will she have a baby with your husband? And I'm like, no, she's just carrying it.
Right.
So
it's not a crazy question.
No, yeah, it's not. If you don't know, you don't. Yeah.
Right.
A surrogate carries. I mean, it doesn't. It could be, you know, it's been our embryo. So Emily's eggs, my sperm. It could be maybe what we're pursuing, which is an egg donor. So that would be someone else's eggs and my sperm, or it could be the other way, someone else's sperm and Emily's eggs. And then, yeah, an egg donor or a sperm donor is someone who would donate eggs or sperm to help create an embryo for a variety of reasons. And let me tell you something, and Emily can speak to this, the surrogacy process, like having to decide who you think is fit to carry your child is...
That's
incredibly
one thing.
Bizarre. Now an egg donor, you are choosing
You know, surrogate is very difficult because you want to make sure the person has like a good routine, is healthy, you know, takes care of themselves, good support system. And that's really important to have a successful pregnancy. But like also you want to make sure, okay, well, when it comes to egg donor, like those are the genes you're going to, your grandchildren, like great, like, now you're incorporating that into like your family tree.
Yeah.
So like you want to be even more thorough, which the whole process of picking a surrogate out and an egg donor out is just a wild concept.
Like a catalog? Like
no, it is. Yeah.
No, literally, it's like
okay. An app.
Yeah. No, there's there are
swipe
huge
right.
profiles, which Jared loves to tell the story about how some people will rank themselves out of five.
Each agency, and this is another, you know, if anyone listening like might go through this, there's so many different, there's so much money involved in this. And that also makes it tough because you don't want that to influence your decision, but it's a business for, you know, whether it's a surrogacy agency or an egg donor agency.
But
and
can I add, I feel like our guiding light throughout all this has been our surrogacy lawyer. Like not only, she's a family friend. Sorry to interrupt you really fast, but she's a family friend. I went to high school with her younger sister. Her younger sister now lives a street in front of us. She's a gem of a human. But she has been the one like guiding us throughout this process of like, where do we even start? Where do we go to? What's a good agency? Like, we don't know
how
this.
Would you even begin?
We don't, like, there's so much. It's overwhelming.
Google egg donors.
So anyways, I just want to add, like, well, she's the one who's really guided us throughout to even start.
In the financial side, it's not like you have unlimited darts to throw because like, this stuff costs money, right?
Oh my
right?
gosh,
yeah.
So expensive. You know, I wish that I was, you know, a baseball player, not a broadcaster. And then, you know, maybe it wouldn't be as much of an obstacle, but that's just not the reality.
Sorry, one more interruption. But I also feel so grateful that like we have the opportunity to even do all of this. Cause so many people, it's like, if they can't try naturally, that's the end of their journey. Yeah. And it is so not lost on me, like how amazing it is. And I'm so grateful that like we have the opportunity to do IVF surrogacy. I mean, IVF is covered by my insurance at work, which is
crazy.
Amazing. I'm so grateful for that. But anyways, I just wanted to add that like that's.
So each agency with the egg donor, the different profiles, but like it goes in depth, like your family history, you know, the height and maybe little nuggets on like your maternal grandparents and paternal grandparents, stuff like this. But one of the agencies, they have a rating system, one through five stars. On like various things like math ability, singing ability, art, athletic ability, whatever.
God. Did you meet the CJ Wilson of surrogates?
Well, maybe. But what's funny is one of the first
the best
we
surrogate
saw
ever.
Yeah. one of the first profiles we saw was this professional volleyball player who was like 6'2".
Jersey, like, sign me up. Done. We're going to have an athlete. Tallest in my family,
which is a problem. I'm trying to not be the tallest in my family at 5'6¾". So that would help. But she like put for her athletic ability like 3 out of 5. And I'm thinking, you're a professional athlete. But like, in her write up, she's like, basically was saying, yeah, you know, I played professionally, but I wasn't like the best on my team or whatever.
Like, no, give yourself some credit. Yeah. Like,
right. And then the very you're next really person good. I saw was like a 5 out of 5 athletically. So I'm like, all right, like, who's this? And she's like, I do yoga once a week.
You know? Yeah, like, big athlete. Yeah.
But she also ranked herself 5 out of 5 on everything else. Yeah. And it's like,
funny.
Oof, yeah. Like, you can really see like
the difference in the people, lines. How they yeah. view themselves.
It's yeah. so funny. Yeah. But yeah.
So I wear this necklace now, and there's 9 stones, and that's because we've lost 9 embryos, 9 attempts, via, whether it's a transferred intake or a miscarriage or something like that. So that's, we are 9 in. We're hoping number 10 is.
And he is Remy's footprints on the back.
So also one of the greatest gifts, I will tell you that day was probably one of the toughest days.
It's etched in my mind.
She asked, so they had us meet with a counselor before, and we don't live there, so it's not like someone we'd have a long-standing relationship with, but they have to go through, given the gravity of the procedure, they go through a few things, like, hey, if you feel this, you can call this number. We do have these resources available, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And after the spiel, Emily asked, or the lady asked, do you have any questions? And Emily said, if there's any way...
I would love a hand or a footprint, yeah. because... I mean, we saw all of her limbs and we saw her feet and her hands and all of the scans, all the sonogram scans. And so I just, like, you know, naturally fell in love with like her little bitty feet and her little bitty hands. I thought they were the most precious things. And so.
So the lady was like, yeah, okay, we'll see what we can do. But like, I just kind of thought she was being polite, you know, on the verge of Emily having a.
Well, they're like very gentle. They're like, we know this is like the hardest day of your life to date. Like.
Yeah,
we will do everything we can, but like we can't make any guarantees, and so we didn't know what to expect. And Jared's in the waiting room. And
yeah, I'm in the waiting room for it seems like forever, and then Emily finally comes out
with a little envelope in my hand.
Well, she gives for I go and I give her this big hug, and I'm already like, you know, emotional. And then she realized quickly, like after, oh hey, by the way, and it's this little envelope.
And he just immediately collapsed. Like
it's her
in the floor in the waiting room.
And yeah. I've never, you know, I've heard people say like when you feel weak and like you know, I lost it. I mean,
I actually have
it's on the back. Yeah. Her footprints are on the on the back here.
Yeah, I took a photo of Jared collapsing, and I know that's kind of weird to say, but like I never wanted to forget like that moment of like what we were going through, and yeah. I was coming out of anesthesia, you know, all of this. Stuff and I was like, but I wanted to remember like what this day like was like for us, what we were feeling, and just being able to look back on it because it was such a big day in our lives. And yeah, I keep her footprints on my nightstand. And whenever I'm having a hard day or feeling like I really just like need her, I like put her footprints on my heart. But yeah, we're continuing to move forward with transfers. And I think the thing that carries us through, and this is another purpose I really wanted to share, is that like we know we'll be parents. It's just a matter of how or when. Like, and that is what keeps us going. Like, and, you know, I think when we first started our IVF journey, it was like, is this going to work? We don't know. Well, we've been through the hardest, I think, so far. And we know like it's not guaranteed. But we know we will be parents, whether that's adoption, egg donor, IVF, surrogacy, like one way or another, like we will be parents. And we know we're not going to be childless forever. And that is what gets me through, because I just hold on to that. Like, and I know we will have these moments that all of our friends are having. We will have these moments that we keep wanting. And that is what I go to sleep knowing, like, okay, we can continue doing this for that reason. And I think that's really hard to see, especially when you're starting out and you're like, oh, I'll do one IVF and it's guaranteed, which is amazing. And, but you know, I just want to,
we get asked about adoption.
Yeah.
That is, it's something that we have discussed. I will say one thing, if anyone's listening, To just go up to someone going through this and being like, you guys should adopt, mm-hmm. is not something that I would, these are all very tough. Like even the egg donor, it's not like an easy, oh yeah, we'll do this, or yeah, we'll do that. Or you don't have the chicken sandwich, I'll have a hamburger. Like these are all difficult decisions. And that is something that we have considered, and God bless him. I know he won't care that I mentioned his name, Travis Jankowski and Lindsay Jankowski. Huge blessings because they have an adopted son. And just being able to sit down and talk to Travis about that process and those, I mean, that helped. Like those are like, you never know when you're going to be around people who they'll kind of be angels in that regard.
Yeah. So, anyway. Well, I remember I sat next to Lindsay somewhere and she was telling me about, I said, do you mind me asking just like what drew you to surrogacy or to adoption and like how you got there? And she was like, of course I don't mind. Like, and she was starting to tell me about it.
So sweet.
And that was the first time I'd ever really heard like someone's story about why they did adoption or how they got there. And she was like, you know, I really prayed on it and I, my heart was drawn to it. And, you know, but Travis was a little uncertain and I don't want to tell their story by any means, but like that, what hearing their story and how they ended up coming to do adoption was the most amazing thing. And I tell Jared all the time. I mean, at least, I don't know, a few times a year, like, Lindsay telling me that inspired me so much. And I think that is, oh my gosh, I could get emotional, but I feel like that's what gave me the push to like even explore egg donor and consider adoption because like she was so inspiring.
Yeah.
And like that little conversation, you know, really just
there's a reason didn't why y'all
and I think she'll ever know. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
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 So it sounds like I love that you say you know that you're going to be parents.
Yeah.
And that's what helps you guys kind of continue to push through.
Yeah.
The story is absolutely crazy. I can't imagine going through everything that you've gone through. But I'm just wondering how this has affected your relationship. Because just as a innocent bystander, it seems like you guys are really super close and a really good team. And I know that one of the hardest things that you could possibly go through, y'all are going through.
Yeah. Sorry not to laugh at your very serious question.
Well, and it's
like we had at it this morning in the car.
that's part of being close is being able to talk through hard things, right? Yeah. And come out on the other side stronger and better.
Yeah.
So how has this affected y'all's relationship?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, we're good.
We're laughing because we literally were like, we're so frustrated with each other this morning. Like, how are we going to get on here and talk about this very serious subject?
It's hard enough without everything you're going through, I guess, is another thing I could say. Like, life is hard enough without all of that, which is heavy, heavy, heavy stuff.
Yeah. And I'm so grateful for what it has done for our marriage, honestly. But
yeah, I mean, I say this very openly, like it, just the fact that we're not divorced, I think is like a huge win. And I say that very like easily because I've said that a lot, but like, I can see how anyone going through this would, you would go through the process and then you'd look in the mirror and think like, or someone asks like, why are you not together with this person? And like, you wouldn't have like a bad thing to say. It's just like,
it's hard.
It's hard. Cause like, I'll even say, you know, one of the challenges when you're going through it is like one day Emily's having just a shitty day and it's my job to, you know, kind of be there for her. And then the next day it's like, I'm having the shitty day and it's, you know, she's going to be there for me. And it's like, you lose just these normal days where it's like, no one has to worry about eggshells and the other person. You just get to have a day of like husband and wife and best friends. And like, it is difficult to, you don't have that. You feel like you are always on eggshells communicating. I can't tell you how many times they're saying that like, I've wanted to get off my chest and I'm sure same for Emily where it's like, no, but this is not the day to do it because like there's so much going on.
Too heavy.
I mean, it's been 5 years where like there really have only been certain pockets where it's like she's not on. And that's the other thing, medication. I mean, she's on a ton of medication at times and like that impacts her energy, her mood, everything. And like, so when she snaps at me, I want to get upset, but like, I got to realize I can't.
It's
and
not
she
is me. Sacrificing, it's the hormones.
She is sacrificing everything. Like, yes, we're in this together. Yes, I'm a part of it, but I'm really not, you know, like I'm not. Like, she is the one who has given.
She's in it.
Everything. She has given up her life in some ways, like her social calendar. She's had relationships that have changed. I've seen them like with people because she has to separate herself because of what she's going through. She, you know, there was one stretch where she had to take 3 shots a day for how long? How many weeks was it? 6 weeks?
I mean,
I think it was like 5 or 6 weeks, yeah. 3 shots a day. And it has to be the exact same time, give or take 5 minutes, right? So it's not like morning, afternoon, yeah. night. It's like you're going to do it at 8:30.
Yeah.
It's got to be 8:30. It's got to be 2:30. It's got to be 9:30.
You have
right?
5 minutes to do it.
And so
you have to
how,
do it.
How do you go have dinner with people or have fun on a Saturday night? And then like, and the other thing is she would have to lay down for 30 minutes. So there were dinners, and thankfully we had friends we were comfortable sharing with, but there were times when we were like, and I had to make up an excuse or whatever, because Emily would leave dinner, leave an event, take a shot, lay down horizontally in the car for 30 minutes before she could come back.
And I would like rejoin lunch or dinner and be like, I'm back. What did I miss? So,
well, cat nap.
Yeah. And we had some friends we could tell, like, hey, Emily's, she's going to be back in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's also so interesting because like it really... You see a lot of people who are there for you throughout the process, but then likewise, you see people who aren't, and like that's okay.
Yeah.
But like you see your relationships change for better or for worse. And some people get it, some people don't get it, and that's okay, but those aren't your people.
Yep.
And I feel like I had a really hard time coming to terms with that when I, in the very beginning, when like I was like, but why don't they get it? Why, like, can't they understand? And again, people don't know what they don't know. And that's been like my biggest takeaway is like, you can't fault them for that. They're not in the weeds. As much as you tell them about it, like people only can understand it so much unless right. they're in it, you know? And so I think just really, you know, giving people, again, comes back to like that grace in terms of like,
you don't know what anybody's going through.
Yeah.
You, Julie, like, I'm sure you,
yeah, a lot of the things y'all are saying are similar. Like you find out who your true friends are, you know, and it's like you said, it's fine. If people can't handle your stuff, they don't need to.
My gosh, I know I have so much stuff and I know all of this, it's a ton. And some people are like, I can't take that on as a friend. And like, that's okay.
Right.
That's not my person and that's fine. But like, I also can't help it. Like,
you can't help it and you need to do what's best for you and your family. Well, I've heard a lot about you guys, you know, from Emily, just bits and pieces, and I've been wanting to hear your story, and I think it really is truly impactful for a lot of people, and it's going to be impactful for a lot of people because I don't think people realize how many people are struggling to get pregnant or have struggled to get pregnant and
stay pregnant,
and y'all's story is obviously like an extreme, and I'm so glad that you came on this show for that reason, but I'll tell you something cheesy, cheesy, cheesy. I'm so glad you came on this show because your future child's going to have the story and see how loved they are.
Yeah.
Honestly, the things you guys are doing for this baby.
You're so sweet. Thank
you. It's amazing. It's amazing. And that baby's so loved, so lucky. And I can't wait for that picture of your family. And it's gonna work out.
It absolutely will. It's a matter of when and how, and that's what keeps us going. But I know I rambled so much and my voice is like shaky.
Come sit down and tell us about 5 years of
I know part of it.
But one thing I did want to ask, so I know how much of a planner Jared is, and so how do you but I'm serious though. So how do you, like you said, I love the fact that you're like, we know we're gonna be parents at some, we just don't know when and we don't know how.
Yeah.
So how do you keep from getting bogged down in the procedures and the transfers and the shots and that, from getting bogged down in that, and to keep that eye on the prize.
Yeah.
And then I guess too, finally, how can people, I know you want to be a resource. I know you want to, that you hope people hear this story, your story, and it helps them. Then finally, I want you to tell people how they can reach out to you, how they can use you for a resource.
Yeah. Well, I think reminding ourselves that we will be parents one way or another is the light at the end of the tunnel. But I know that every shot, every procedure has a purpose. And on our walk the other night, I was telling Jared that like everything we've been through, like I would never wish upon anyone. I would never want this to be our journey. I never foresaw this being our, foresaw?
Sure. I think it works. Yeah.
First.
Never foresaw.
Could never foresee. Yeah,
whatever.
Oh, well, you get the point.
It all works.
I could never foresee been our journey. But it all got us to where we are. It all led us to our current surrogate. It all led us to our the egg donor process.
Well, you asked earlier, our relationship. We're closer than.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Like, the mindset I have for my friendships and relationships and the mindset I have on life. Like, I've gotten into meditation and all these different things. Like, it all led us to like where we are now. And so for that makes me so grateful. And so I find purpose in like the journey, which I know is like the cheesiest thing to say. But like that really is what keeps me going.
We have to think that way, otherwise we'd be miserable.
Yeah.
It's like it maybe at first it felt like forced like positivity, but yeah. like honestly, it's not, because if we didn't, we would not be here. Well, and we might not be together, just right. to be honest, if we didn't have...
Well, I feel like forced positivity, and like they say the whole like toxic positivity thing is such a thing. But I feel like looking at like things to really emphasizing on like gratitude and like being grateful for the small things is different for me, at least in terms of like forced positivity, because I'm really appreciative and like recognize that things don't have to be the way they are. And like, whether it's like my mindset or things, like I could have a different mindset.
Sure.
Anyways, all that to say,
I've not done well with the schedule, to answer your question. I've worked on, I'm getting better, but Julie, I have my schedule. I mean,
he goes to the bathroom at 8:05, tweets at 8:06. But like,
from the bathroom.
Yeah. I am very regimented. I'm very type A in that regard. And this has forced me and challenged me for the better to,
but it's okay because I'm
schedule.
I'm type B, so like you know.
But I agree with what Julie said. Like, that baby is going to be so loved, and y'all are going to be amazing, amazing parents. And I'm so grateful that y'all shared your story with us. Please tell people if they do want to reach out.
I was going to create an email address that was just for this purpose, and I forgot. It wasn't on my schedule, so I didn't do it.
True. No, I think I'm private on all of my socials, but Jared is not. So I feel like people could reach out to him, DM him.
I don't know how that works on Twitter now. Who can DM who? Because I hear some people.
I don't know. Instagram.
But I'll just give.
Or the charity, you know.
Yeah, or I just give them my email.
Because Sandlot Charity is the charity that you guys have, and it helps with kids with disabilities, which is amazing. Y'all have a great event every year. People may want to get involved in that too.
I appreciate that. I'd say if someone had a question, just send an email
or DM.
If DM doesn't work, at Jared Sandler or at Sandlot Charity, I don't know how, but send an email. You don't have to write out your life story in an email. I'm happy to talk to people. I just don't answer calls from numbers I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't, so like if
they're
someone,
scary.
Yeah. So you can just, it's my email is sandlerj1, like the number one, at gmail.com. Because I'm 1 out of 5 stars. That's why I'm
okay.
And I don't know, like if a woman's listening, I don't know.
Just go DM Jared. You and say,
all right, okay.
Yeah. This is for
I'll filter,
Jared can
scream. Yes.
Yeah.
But
can have a conversation or can answer questions. And I'd say too, like our experience is our experience. We are not of the opinion that any decision we've made or any experience or emotion we felt is going to be someone else's path or emotions. But like, we are always happy to share. This is what we did. This is why we did it. These are the things we learned in the process, and whatever works for you works for you. But you know, I think, you know, we'd be happy to share kind of our experience in that regard.
Yeah, definitely.
And we won't ramble.
And to be a resource for people.
A resource. Great. Yeah. The other big thing I've learned throughout all this, to wrap it up quickly, is that like community is huge, and I am private on all of my socials, but the people just that I'm friends with on social media that have reached out saying like, thank you for sharing this, or I'm going through this, do you have any resources? Like, there are so many people that we don't even realize are going through this. Mm-hmm. And connecting with those people has been so meaningful to me, because it makes me feel like I'm not alone, which again is so cheesy to say.
No, but nobody wants to be.
That sense of community. And I was telling Jared, I think I've said this like 7 times on this podcast, like on our walk the other night, is that like, it's all about human connection, right? Like, everything we do is about human connection, and relating to people and not feeling alone is a part of that.
Yeah.
And so like the connecting with people, reaching out, even if like my story is different than someone else's story, like just knowing that like we're all doing it, we're all in it, like there's purpose in that. And I think that's been so important for me to be a part of, and that's why I've felt like sharing my story on social media or this podcast has like had a purpose.
Yeah.
And so that's been really helpful for me to keep pushing through.
Well, we're grateful that you guys shared with us. Thanks for having us. Like I said, I can't wait for that baby.
For joining you, do we get some onion dip? I thought you were about to like, hey, well,
you don't.
Sorry,
you don't
be like this, how Emily said no.
If you
want to say, of course, you just poured your hat out.
You want to grab some queso?
Whatever we can do for you.
I love onion dip.
This is new and I haven't tried it.
Emily said no.
Okay, well, we're going to end the show like we do every episode. Y'all's camera is right here. Deuce is up. Mom game out on the count of three. One, two, three. Mom game out.
Mom game out.